Yeah, so I think how many screens would be a good start?
Oh yeah.
So how many screens, like, is it like how many monitors you have?
Yeah, so you know, everyone's been posting their work from home, like pictures and stuff.
Oh my God, there's so many of them.
To prove that they're capable of working from home and showing to the rest of us unwashed masses as if like it's some magical skill that nobody has.
Friday, and we are drunk and retired.
I've been reading a lot of Twitter, and everyone keeps saying WFH. And at first, I thought this was some kind of like WTF variant that I didn't know about. And so, like, you know, what for hell or. But I discovered what it means is work from home, which is perhaps, what is this, March? I wouldn't say it's the largest letdown of the year for me so far, but it's maybe top 30. Like, it's definitely, there was so much potential for, like, I've learned something new, but it really, it's just work from home. So, you know, I think maybe each of us have published 2 to 3 different advices on working from home. So we don't need to like go over it in extreme detail, but I'm using a whole new crazy microphone setup because I figured, well, here's my problem. Now it involves screens and cameras, and I can see each of you. There's a couple of you who look like you have solved this problem. And the problem I have is, like, I don't really have a good enough nose hair trimmer, so I don't want the rest of my work at WFH life to be like, tell Cote he needs a nose hair trimmer because the camera's looking up his nose from his book. Now the problem is I also have a gigantic screen in front of me, so I can't like put the camera. I mean, see, you can even tell I'm looking at the screen. I can't put the camera in the place where it looks like I'm looking at the screen. And this is unacceptable.
Yeah, Cote, I'm kind of blown away that that's not a solved problem. Like, why isn't a camera in the middle of my fancy monitor I can just make some awkward eye contact with you as opposed to awkward adjacent eye contact?
Yeah, see, I've got it like a go.
Are you saying the problem is it's too high?
No, well, the problem is, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's too high.
The camera is too high.
No, the camera is the perfect level. But the problem is the monitor is too high. I'm going to take a picture. I'll put it in the show notes here and you will see.
Podcasting is a non-visual medium. So
I'm going to even better. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold my phone up to the camera so you can see the picture. You see this kind of
what's this is going great audio. On there?
Yes.
So the problem is
you have a fancy camera. You have the same problem Sasha does.
Yeah.
I actually have three different cameras, right? But the problem with the fancy one was that like I could not find a mount that was strong enough. It's literally 4.5 pounds, right? So finding a mount.
Wow.
And so finding a mount that will hold that thing is just like impossible. There's another problem, which is like it does not autofocus. So like I don't know what to do exactly about that. I don't know. I'm still kind of thinking through this. But it did bother me. Like if we're doing this is fine, right? Like me looking at the screen is okay. But if I'm recording something for like should be a good quality video, like it really does bother me that my eyes are not like in exactly the right location, right? Yeah. Or that my video quality is reduced. It's also, you can see like the light is also a problem, right? I have too much light, and the other opposite of that is I don't have enough light and there's no solution for that. I also have discovered there's lots of problems with green screen, which I didn't know about before and no one had warned me about before I bought the freaking green screen.
Oh, so you have a green screen.
I do. I have
What's
a green
that like?
Screen. So, well, you know, my background is cooler, but it, what I have discovered, I'm going to turn this on off for a second. Okay. What I have discovered is completely... Right. Whoa. So this is behind me because I have no place in this apartment where like my actual physical background is good enough. And I don't know if I want to rebuild things because I don't know how long I'm going to be stuck at home either. So, you know, also I feel attached to my furniture.
I had my green screen problem is the same thing. So like my office, quote unquote, is in my living room where we also live. So like putting up a big green screen, even one that's retractable, like it was a problem. And so I found this thing called the Webaround, which is, it's a big circular green screen that you temporarily put on the back of your chair. And it works great, but my fancy ass webcam has like way too wide of a field of view. But then I discovered that there's like an app for the camera where I can zoom it and stuff. And because it's a 4K camera, it actually handles the cropping pretty well. So that's been my solution. But the problem is when I tend to like swivel my chair. And so every now and again, the corners of the green screen catch the corner of the video, but that's been sort of my, and that so works unless that, you're a standing not, desk person.
But that's just like an adorable thing
the,
about
the
you,
issue
Maddie.
That like I've had because I did a couple of test recordings and I was fine removing my background, like you know, replacing it with something, and that was okay. But then I recorded the whole like talk for this conference that's happening this Friday, and like so that was Camtasia, and Camtasia makes you pick a single color for removing the green screen, and there's no single color I can pick that will let, because the light changes throughout the session and whatever, you cannot hit that color, right? So like the only solution to that is to just, you know, do it like frame by frame, which is completely unmanageable. So yay for that.
Frame by frame.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, like you can like maybe pay someone to do it professionally because like, you know, 24 frames a second, like I am not dealing with that.
You would think that Camtasia would understand that they could sample instead of like doing one very specific color, right? Like,
well, they give you settings like tolerance and stuff like that, but there's no way to get it right. Like, because again, if it was like super good lighting and it was the same all the time, it would be maybe fine. But like at the setup that I can have right now, it like doesn't work.
These are exciting problems.
Sounds like some hashtag podcasting problems.
I'm going to take a little screenshot here. So if you're picking your nose, you should stop. Or not. That's good too. but you know, my last comment.
Oh my god!
Oh, there's a cat. But I do have this super fancy video thing, and like I'm totally like to say that I'm white is an understatement.
Yeah,
the lighting
blown out a little bit.
Very angelic, and there's no like
more skeleton.
I don't know what to do about that.
Is that your monitor part putting so much light onto you because you've got
probably
a big white thing on
your
screen?
That's probably the problem. Anyways, but I see behind you, Paul. Now you're in, it looks, I'm guessing it's your home studio where you're monitoring, you're like some sort of LBJ character there. You're monitoring the four or five channels that are going on.
This is Paul's knock.
That's just my collection of dead monitors.
Now, is this a hobby that I didn't know you have? You don't ever post those on Instagram. Like, here's a new monitor.
I feel like I'm legally obliged to have old, broken hardware just lying around my office, right?
Yes.
So there it is.
I kept the Sunray around for a long time until I finally moved here to Amsterdam, and that's when I finally got rid. I think I took it to Goodwill, and I was imagining. I don't know if y'all donate stuff very much, but every now and then I imagine like, someone's going to find this and they're going to be like, why did someone still have this?
I have this
and
thing.
Why did they
like,
think somebody wanted it donated? So that they
I would never.
What do you put on the donation slip? Because they let you put the own money. I mean, I don't know. This might be worth $3,000. I have no idea.
I went through a thing where like I would not get rid of cable. Like I just, it was for some reason, if it was peripherally connected to electronics, it felt wrong to get rid of it because I guess growing up and thinking about electronics as being a very expensive thing. And this is why I carried around and moved from house to house for years, many RJ11 cables when I hadn't had a landline phone in like 5 years. Right. But I still needed to have those little, you know, I was like, cause you never know. And spoiler alert, you do know, and the answer is no, you don't need it.
So I threw that box of cables away.
Cables are so hard. Like I will throw out things like, you know, tools and stuff, but cables, I'm like, what if I needed that? And every now and again, you do, because it's like some weird attachment, and the only way to do this is four different cables going through an adapter. I don't know.
But the thing is, the one weird one that you need, you're never going to find. Because the thing is, you don't save the weird one. You save, like, all the same. And this is why everybody – so talking about gear again, everybody loves the freaking Blue Yeti. I hate that mic because it has a mini USB connection, not a micro or whatever. Mm. It's got the, it's the only device I own that has that particular connection, and I could never find the cable for it when I wanted to move around with it. So finally, I was just like,
"Oh, I have so many of those because Android phones had that." So
No. It's the bigger PS3 one.
The PS3 controllers have that too. And interestingly enough, the RetroPie, you can use a PS3 controller for to be able to do. So I actually was like, yes, I have a use for this thing.
I definitely had extra cables with that. But it, my biggest problem with the Yeti was that it kept disconnecting. And you can't, just, you can't deal with that because it's just like, it drops you off in the middle of a recording. It's like, okay, we don't have a mic anymore.
That's sort of like a car that just blows up while you're driving it.
And yeah. JJ, it's probably fine. I think you're mixing up micro and mini USB, or micro and micro mini, extra micro mini USB. But I have both those devices, and they're different.
Are you sure?
It's the bigger one.
I just did the dumbest thing. We're recording right now, and I unplugged the cable to look at it to confirm. So
if you had a blue Yeti, it would do that for you automatically without any intervention.
But let me get back. So related to screens.
Oh, yeah.
One of the topics suggested by Tall. I keep calling him Tall. And your name is Tall. This is like, I have another podcast, and we, Paul and I have what would he be? He's our third line manager now. Is that IBM talk? Anyways, yep, he's our boss's boss. And I used to get him confused with our boss's boss. And so I would switch between naming the same thing, which, as you can imagine, is delightful. And I would do it on podcasts, so it was on the record all the time. Anyways, but we'll start calling him Paul. He was suggesting we answer the question, how many screens is too many? And I think, you know, obviously 10 dead screens might be too many. I think
it might be a minimum viable screen graveyard.
What's the minimal amount of screens too? Like, that's an interesting question as well.
Well, I, when at the first job I had at this little online banking startup, we had one person who was blind. And he had that really rapidly talking robot thing. So I guess you could say technically he had a screen, because at the time, I don't think you could buy a laptop without a screen. I wonder if you can do that. Anyways, he could have zero screens, but you know, I think one screen maybe. That's the minimum.
This reminded me of one of the scariest screen related stories about. So I used to work many, many years ago, back in the mid 90s, I worked for a computer retailer that was like, at the time, was a competitor of CDW, when CDW had competitors. And one of my jobs was, so if people bought CRTs and they returned them to us, we couldn't return them back to Ingram Micro unless they were defective. And so one of my jobs, by the way, my official job was web designer, webmaster, but I also was to take them and short them out so they would blow out, so they were defective. Like, and if those of you who've ever done computer hardware work, the one thing in hardware you can do that will actually kill you is anything to do with the CRT. And my job was to actually make that happen on purpose. That was like the worst job I ever had.
So you asked the question.
It would be Sasha, a good job, which, like, right? It would be like, you know, I get paid to break things.
It was fun at first till I started to really understand, because I also remember I was like 21, so like I didn't understand like what was really happening at the time, and then I started. It was like, oh, wait a minute.
I think the statute of limitation is up.
Yeah, wasn't that a CompTIA A+ question, like how to short out a CRT monitor? If you like, you throw the screwdriver in the back or something.
Oh, no, that's how to discharge it.
You have to
do that on purpose when you're going to work on it, so that you don't kill yourself.
Ah, that's rough.
A+. Like, random insight I just had, like, looking at you all. All of you work for IBM. Most of you work. No.
One of us does.
Uh huh.
How can you tell by just looking at us, though?
You have that look.
Actually, speaking of which, regular viewers of this podcast know most of us, but Sasha, I think this is actually your first time with us.
So regular listeners of this podcast that happened once so far.
You know. Well, it's a reboot. Kote did apparently have people on before, but, you know.
Yeah, so I'm Sasha Rosenbaum. I used to work for Microsoft until like basically a couple of weeks ago, and I work for GitHub now, which is, you know, happens. In the same way that none of you work for IBM, you know, that I don't work for Microsoft anymore. So
I work for IBM that way.
Right. Well, that's Reddit, me. Yeah. The two Macs are like that. So Broberg also is new.
Right. And so, yeah, so I am on the engineering side, but it's more of a DevRel type of thing. So, you know, they pay me for this. So this is good. I enjoy this.
Wait, Kosei, I thought you said no one's getting paid for this podcast.
Yeah, well, not yet. It, you know, if all of us try really hard.
Well, it is 11 a.m.
Maybe
in the US,
maybe we can.
Know, so.
We're working on getting sponsorship from the Bread Council of America after last week's episode.
In the also, USB yeah. Council, as we talk through the yeah. importance of having USB B, USB Mini B, USB Mini B 5-pin. Yes. Sorry, Sasha, what were you saying?
Yeah. So one important mention: I don't actually drink. I mean, I used to, but not in over a year. So So it may be a wrong podcast for me. I don't know.
Oh, it's perfect! Congratulations.
But you can be the retired part of drunk and retired.
That's right. Or just drunk on power. I think that's kind of the primary.
Well, it's like you know, it's like to me, I feel like not to go down this whole thing, I don't drink a lot either, but it's a little bit like the Mitch Hedberg thing, right? He's like, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to too. You know? That, I don't, but you know.
Well, as Paul was elucidating, that is the point of the saying is you can always have two of those. I mean, one of those. I even messed it up myself, but you know, it's possible. It's not some sort of fancy programming, and it's more of a in the real world, and always means or in a programming sense. So, you know, it's optional. But anyhow, how do we get on? Oh yes, IBM.
We're doing introductions somewhat.
Set the record straight. Kotei and myself do not work for IBM or any satellite thereof.
Okay.
We're at VMware, care of Pivotal, yes. In the same way that they're at IBM, care of Red Hat.
I see what you did with satellite. That was an interesting kind
of... Subsidiary? What's the proper name for things? I don't know.
I don't know. Names are hard.
We can cut this whole part out. I'm sorry for embarrassing you all.
No, it's fine.
We're perfectly capable of embarrassing ourselves.
Yes, that's right.
So I still don't have an answer on screen numbers. I'm rocking the one external monitor, and you know, it's all right. I think part of me envies those that have like what I consider the truly nerdy setup, which is like one nice single display and then another one widescreen that's tilted vertically as if to indicate that I have very important code or text to read and I like to see all of it at once.
I tried to do the vertical orientation once and it just, I guess I write short enough bash that it never seemed to make a lot of sense. I run my laptop closed and run the big ginormous widescreen and that's I like one having one big screen that's wide so I can do two windows next to each other like
You know, I'll have to find this picture so that I can talk about it here on the audio podcast, but I remember the first time that I saw a picture of someone with a vertical monitor, there was some picture of like Al Gore's desk and I didn't realize it at the time, but at the time he was on the Apple board. And so it was like, you know, if you like Apple stuff, it was like crazy. He had like the most two of the most expensive like Apple monitors. And one of them was set on the vertical thing. And ever since then, I've always thought that like, if you can somehow get a gigantic screen on vertical, you've arrived. Like you're at your apex.
Not alone. No, I feel
it's
the same.
It's funny how like all of us have this idea of like what means you made it, so that it is for you.
Yeah, Sasha, what's your setup?
Having an Apple Cinema display vertical orientation.
That's right. My boss, the person with the green screen. I think with the green screen, you're very close to the top. You're almost there. Like once you remodel your apartment so that it can accommodate your in-home green screen, I think that's when you know.
Well, you just paint the whole wall then at that point.
Yeah, and then you wear a green t-shirt, and then you can do weird things.
My boss informed me he has the H setup now.
Yeah.
Have you heard the H? Whoa, where you have two verticals, the two verticals on the side and the 4K monitor in the middle.
Oh, how's that possible?
Also known as the TIE Fighter.
Oh, TIE Fi. I did not know
now,
that.
Now, do I need one of those like $500 USB-C like hub things to do that? How do I achieve this?
I genuinely don't know. I have my big one. I have a small one that has Slack in it all the time. And then I have my laptop where I have my email. That seems to work for me.
I was going to upgrade because I'm this dork. So I have a 34-inch ultra wide, which is ridiculous to begin with. Let's just be. But the funny thing is it's like the big phone. Like at first it feels giant. Then you have it for a while and you're like, oh, this is just normal. So then I was looking at like a 49-inch, but I started to go down this path and I'm like, okay, but then I was like, but my laptop can't run that, so I need an external GPU, and that's like $600. And then my desk isn't big enough, so I need to buy a new desk. So when all this was said and done, like, because it all started because this monitor was on sale. So I'm like, oh, that's not a bad price. I can buy that monitor for $800, and that's reasonable. And then it's like $2,500 in my shopping cart later. I'm like, Yeah. And this also was happening at like 2 a.m, which is the worst time.
Sold your apartment and then you moved into the suburbs and then you had 3,000 square feet just for your technology setup.
Right. So needless to say, I'm still on the 34, but I don't know. I'm sorry for your loss.
I will also say some things work with one OS versus the other, right? So like the super wide monitor is like, it's useless on Windows because you can't really pin windows like to smaller sizes, but on the other hand, like because it's going to be full screening you for the most part, you know, so you can't really do that. Like I have a touch screen, so if I switch to my Mac, then I can't use the touch screen, which is sad because it actually kind of helps you sometimes. So
downside of running closed laptop that I've discovered is that I can't use Touch ID.
Oh yeah.
And people still use that.
I use it for 1Password.
Oh yeah. So that had a related thing I wanted to ask about. So I do the thing where I've got my laptop open, and I learned this from Matt Ray on one of the other podcasts, where I've got my laptop open and that's my primary screen. And then I have the big monitor that I discussed earlier, but like, I really like the trackpad on here. And so like, I don't mind closing the laptop, but I want that trackpad thing. And I don't know what to do about that. Like, I want the layout where the trackpad's in the middle and I've got the keyboard there. There must be some keyboard I can buy, but.
And again, the thing, I'm sure there is a keyboard you can buy, but another thing, if you're running on Windows, then I like the face recognition thing, right? And if I close my laptop, it doesn't work anymore. So that is also said. But I will say, so on the monitor subject, I used to be super attached to one monitor, like through having a big monitor. But it like for various reasons. So one is like I have a hip problem, so it's hard for me to sit for extended periods of time. And the other is like I started traveling and I got so like unattached to my monitor that now I don't need it. Like I used to feel like I can't really work on a small screen, but now I'm like, 13-inch is fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat too. I find just using like virtual screens and just switching between them gives me just about everything I wanted out of multiple monitors anyway. I do have one larger screen when I'm at home and I do have that up, but I use it exactly like I would my laptop screen. I just have one running. And then my laptop screen, I leave it open, but it's just running HTOP. So I know if I should be yelling at Slack or Zoom at any given time for eating all my resources.
Now HTOP, that's the type of shoe, right?
It's definitely the type
not
of
all
shoe.
Of us are hanging out in T-Mux all day like Paul. The rest of us are posers.
Well, hey, we haven't introduced you, Matt. You weren't on the Bread.
Oh, wait, really?
Why don't you introduce yourself?
I think Matt has been on literally every podcast ever done, so everyone should already know him.
For those that have already heard my voice, hi again. I'm Matt Broberg. I work at I work at Red Hat, which is a wonderful place to be, quite honestly, on the opensource.com team. So I get to live in a space where I just talk about open source software. And
is that GNU opensource.com?
Yeah. So if anyone wants to get into the intricacies of free software foundation versus open source software definition, that's kind of a hobby now. And Paul is also the best troll on that subject if you're looking to hire and or fire somebody for that.
I think we should have an episode on that, but like, you know. with prep.
Yeah, that sounds terrible, but also great. Let's do it, Sasha.
Wait, yeah, wasn't that how we described Paul recently? Was like everything Paul says is terrible, but also great. I think it was something like that. So that's
I absolutely maybe that's love his Twitter picture, right? Because it's like a facepalm, and like I really feel like you're facepalming on pretty much everything you say. So
this is a good opportunity since you brought up. Do the kids still say avatars? I don't know what it is, but Paul in Instagram, there's a picture of you. I think sitting on a bunch of beer in the back of an El Camino.
Yeah, it's a Subaru Brat, but same thing.
Oh, a Brat. Oh, man, that would be a great car to have. Can you imagine having a Subaru Brat? That'd be fantastic. Anyways, what's the story with that picture?
That was taken actually way back when I lived in Australia, where, side note, it's called a Subaru Brumby, not a Subaru Brat.
A Subaru what?
Brumby. Brumby is a wild horse.
Okay. I was going to say, is that like a kangaroo offshoot?
Yeah.
And it was in the back of where I worked right before we had a party. And I'd just been and collected the beer for the party. And I believe it's a bunch of Corona, so very topical right now.
Hey.
Mm. Related gripe about Instagram is you cannot click on or zoom in on someone's profile picture. So I'm looking at Paul's picture and I want to look at it. And all I can see is this little tiny, again, for listeners, imagine my phone and me looking angry and pointing at a little picture of Paul.
I'm not above admitting that I have screenshot and zoomed in on my phone multiple times. Oh, come on. So I'm not the only one.
Have we settled how many screens? Is that too many?
Is too many? One. Any one screens.
One is the correct screen. Amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how
well, one is the correct amount or one is too many?
No, one is the correct amount, I guess, or is like, you know, just your laptop. I mean, I don't know. Like, I can say, like, I tried the two monitors and it was never useful. Like, I was never using the second one ever.
You either have one monitor or you have seven, right? Like, that's right. The thing. Like, the in between is just a waste of time. Like, if you're going to do it, like, go for it and do like a whole video wall, like a knock, right? And just deal and own that, right? But if you have like three is like just right out, because that's when you're like, come on, you're not committing to this nonsense here, you know.
This is as bimodal as IT should be. It's one or the other. There's no third.
I think the only reason to have that many is just like to have like to track production of like, you know, outages. Like, I mean, like except for the war room, I can't think of any reason to do that.
To watch H because
it's awesome.
Hey, Netflix is useful on one screen sometimes. Saying.
The observability folks told us that we're not supposed to have dashboards. So
we're not supposed to look at dashboards. So what you do is on what every display is a tweet stream from charity telling you don't use dashboards.
Wait. Like, I don't know.
Did you just say you wanted to double click on it?
Yes, I did. And Coda did it on the last one. So this was not a Microsoft thing. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Oh, well, now we know at least one person listened to the last episode.
I did, yes. But it was in preview, so I don't know if that was that public? Anyway.
So just to really clear up where we are on the screen debacle, one is the right answer, but two is better if you've really made it. To Cote's point.
No, but they have to be like Apple Cinema display. They two and only vertical. Counts. Two only counts if they're vertical and they're at least $2,000 each.
That's right. That's right. the screen bling. That's what you need. Yeah.
Finn, next topic.
Yeah, you're just like this. This is. I only have the screen for reading PDFs. That's all.
PDF screen. Well, it's like containers, right? It's one process per screen, and that's all you have. Uh-huh. So we need the Kubernetes of displays, right?
Now,
or somehow like,
I think we need now related this. Topic. I am not, I used to use, you know, I don't even know when I used to use it, if it was like Linux or BSD or whatever. I don't know what it was.
Thank you for knowing they're different.
Yeah. Some star Nix thing, but I used to use something called Screen way back when. Now that's the virtual word. Now, how many Nix screens are too many to have?
Any at all, because we're all supposed to use Tmux now.
Tmux, yeah. Oh, yeah. See this? Okay, now is Tmux the same thing, just like, you know.
TMUX is screen, but you can also have multiple terminals inside of that screen.
Now, I used
to use the
Emacs mode where you could do that. That's what I would do, is I had the Emacs with the shell running in it, and I would switch between it. But
you can save the Emacs talk for when you're talking with Matt Ray.
Yeah.
This is an Emacs-free podcast.
That's a different podcast.
And I guess in the Mac and Windows world, you could have a bunch of VMs running that you... I don't even know, but if you're going to make your screens virtual...
Oh, there's...
Are there different rules?
Well, I do that... What do they call it? Like, I don't know if it's Spaces, I think is what they call it on OS X.
Oh, yeah. The virtual desktops. I only ever use that by accident when I press
the combination wrong. I use it constantly.
Huh. Okay.
Like,
okay.
So I think, which is probably similar to what Paul does, right? You know, so it's like I have dedicated... So I have Slack on its own... And then I have different instances of Chrome on each one, and I use a finger, so three-finger swipe left and right on a trackpad on Mac will go between the screens, and that's completely how I live my life.
That's
like such a Luddite. Like, every time I've attempted to organize to a degree where that would make sense, I just end up dizzy.
The thing that messes it up is Chrome, because every other app, you can pin it, and you can say, like, always put this app on this one. So for me, and this is also, I use Chrome in a way that I know not everybody else does, but I have like 6 Chrome profiles. So I have an individual instance of Chrome for my personal stuff, for my work stuff, for DevOps days, because they're all different Google accounts, but then also I might be logged into different GitHub and blah, 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 blah. So what I do is I like to put, because remember I got the wide screen, so I'll put 2 Chrome windows side by side. So on one desktop, I've got my personal Chrome and my work Chrome, because that's where I'm most of the time. Then another one will have like ADO and DevOps days. Chrome can't manage to learn to pin itself beyond reboot. So then when I kill Chrome, then it all tries to start it up in the same screen again, the same space, and then I have to go and I have to move it. The thing that also makes Spaces work really well, and I know we're not supposed to be giving actual helpful tips, but so... Trust me, this won't happen very frequently.
Everything you're about to say, the listeners should just nod it. And
just
then that will
just nod it. There's a utility. It's not free, but it's one of those like $5 app store things called Moom, MOOM. And so it gives you, it's like keyboard shortcuts for snapping window positioning. So I can like quickly, and I'm sure there's stuff built into the OS that does this. And I know Windows has it built in, but it never works the way you want it to. So I can snap and I can say, like with a keyboard, I can say, move this window to 50%, snap to the left and move to the right. And that's how I do like taking up. And then you can tell it to like leave a little border around it and blah, blah, blah.
That would be a cool visual to like run your script and all your windows like slowly move around as if they're like arranging themselves like there's insects underneath them, like an old cartoon or something.
Well, and I think there's like a way you can script Moom to do that kind of thing, right? Like where you can sort of say, this is the layout that I want and save it and then tell it to load the layout. But I usually only have 2 windows on a screen anyway. So
this basically TMUX thing.
How TMUXes?
Is it TMUXin or TMUX or TMXI?
TMUXI.
TMUXes? Well, it's like matrices. So team.
I see.
Moosies. TMUXes?
Let's agree to TMUXes.
TMUXes. So
how many of these TMUXI, TMUXes do you have, Paul? I think Matt kind of went over some, but like what, you know, or let me ask it another way. You know, one day you log in and you're like, I got to manage my windows here. I got too many open. Like how many do you settle on after you've closed everything?
I usually have like 2 or 3 terminal windows open at a time. And then each of those might be open to a particular TMUX when I'm working on a thing.
I see. Okay. Two to three.
Yeah.
So this like, what about tabs? Because I think people they have.
Oh, you've just complexified.
Hold on. There's 2 extremes, right? There's one extreme where people just keep them all. And like, so me, I only keep them around as long as they're useful. And if it's not useful, I'm going to close it immediately because it's distracting to me that they're there. So at any given time, I just have the things that I might go back to for some reason quick, like, you know, next time in the next few minutes. So
my rule of thumb is if the little tab title gets too small, then I have too many tabs.
This is right. If I can't see the screen, JJ.
Oh, mine are usually down to icons anyway. At a certain,
yeah, I can't
I have
do that.
And I have can't 5 Chrome windows open at any given time. But they're not all full, to be fair. To be fair, like some of them will have like three tabs in them or whatever. And I do like, I use tabs like bookmark, like I, because I never remember how to access bookmarks in a browser anymore, apparently.
No.
So
no,
I don't understand how to bookmark, how to bookmark them and find shit and whatever. So I do have several tabs in my, in a couple of my windows that are there just because I'm like, I need to go like fill this form out again sometime in the next week or two and I'll never find it again.
But then you can't find them. Like it gets out of usability space, right? Because you no longer can see where it is.
So I have in my, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I would say I have about 15 tabs open in my personal.
God damn it,
no,
Matt.
No. Okay.
Not a lot. And I have probably 20 open in my Red Hat.
No, you freaking people, you need to do this. and maybe an external app. I'm not going to, Paul shames me on this regularly. I do use Evernote. I'm not ashamed. No, I am ashamed. I'm not going to lie. But I use Evernote to actually save stuff if I need to find something again. And it's just my little search index.
I use OneNote and OneNote is like external memory. It's insane.
Work mode.
I don't know how it would work if that thing went away, I would just completely be useless.
We need to have an entire episode on OneNote because for the past 10 years, people tell me OneNote is the best thing possible. And now, yes. Now that it's available everywhere as it has been for like 4 or 5 years, I've used Evernote forever, but I think like OneNote, I'll save it for the episode.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in it.
I have opinions on this, yes, for sure.
All
right. Now that you're into Todoist, because I know we're talking on Todoist, anytime I get over 5 tabs, I start copying and pasting them and saying what I'm trying to actionably do in them into Todoist and then just delete it, blow it away until I get the job done.
What'll drive you especially nuts is that quite a few of the tabs in my Red Hat browser right now are actually related to tasks in my Todoist because I'm going through an onboarding of the next 30 days. So there's like a whole plan. And so I put all those tasks in. So what I've done is but there's like multiple documents you have to go find. So I need to clean it up. So Paul,
I just wanted to close this discussion out by saying that having lots of Chrome tabs open is like having all of your documents saved to your desktop background. So, Maddie, you are that guy.
It's pretty good.
Do that. My desktop is awful.
My desktop now, because Mac has the thing called Stacks. So now you can save all that shit to your desktop, but your desktop is still nice and clean.
Okay. So how about this? We should have an episode on notes and to-do lists and like work organization type.
I think that's we should do that next time because that
I feel like it's going to be a knife fight style conversation.
Oh, I had an idea. Now we're not supposed to start new podcasts and new video channels, but I thought of a new one, which could be like Matt Broberg makes over your computer environment. Right. Like, so it's like kind of like a Queer Eye thing, right? Like a bunch of people come in and they look at the whole way you live your life in your computer and judge you and shame you, which is not like that. But our show would be like that. It would be like, shame the hell out of you for everything you're doing wrong, set it all up for you, and then leave, and then realize that like you'll do it that way for another week.
That's a great, you know, I had a podcast with this guy, Chris Dancy, a long time ago, and we did a thing called iPhone Palmistry, where people would send us a picture of their home screen, the first screen on their iPad, and we would like, you know, make assumptions about them and their the way they lived. And now he's converted that. He might have actually invented it, I forget, but not to take credit, but he actually, like, you know, he's a super fancy keynote conference dude. And he goes out and people pay him to set up a little booth. And he does iPhone palmistry, in addition to giving keynotes about how he's, like, you know, a cyborg and exciting stuff. But I think that's, you know, it's fun. That's a good idea. Desktop makeover.
An episode about cyborgs. I am keenly interested in that conversation.
All right.
Broberg, when you make that show, we can call it A New Look, spelt GNU.
Hey.
Wow.
And it can combine all of your favorite interests.
Oh, God. You're so good at this, Paul.
Well, you know, we've got a little bit longer before we're going to close out. And I wanted to, there was a topic that came up last week that I wanted to bring up. And that is, because I feel like it'll be some therapy. Now, JJ. We were talking about how you learn new things, and I was saying not you how one, and I was saying like, you know, as a I don't know, actual introvert or something, I have this fear of like screwing up in public or screwing up by in public, I mean outside of my head. So involving anyone else. And I have realized recently, especially as I've tried to like learn Dutch or Netherlands, as they say, that this is basically stopping me from evolving as a person because I don't want to fail in front of other people. And as we all know, and if you want to learn something, you have to like fail and have someone help you. So basically, I never want to learn anything new because it involves, unless I teach it to myself, which is very difficult. So now, JJ, you are the person who has to like bring a deck of cards to like talk with anyone or give a keynote. I mean, I'm jesting a little bit here, but like, how do you go about learning something new that requires interacting with someone else? Do you like put on a mask so they don't know your identity or like what? I need some tips here. Because I actually want to like learn things, but I can't get over that fear.
So there's a great saying where you surround yourself with smarter people, right, than you think you are of yourself, or whatever that saying is, right? Or when you're hiring people, you hire smarter people. So recently how I've been doing this is I've been trying to do streaming from my house where I invite someone who's an expert in something already. And we just screen share and they teach me something. I have I say that I kind of know the thing, which I usually don't. Good. And I get them to walk me through the tutorials and things where I can ask the dumb questions. And then 6 months later, I watch the video again and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then all of a sudden I have enough to be able to move forward.
I like that. You're just moderating other people who need to learn and you happen to be there.
Exactly.
So I will say, like, I have lots of opinions on this. So one is, I don't believe in introverts and extroverts. We're all ambiverts and we kind of change throughout our life. And it's just a label that people kind of hide behind. It's like, oh, I don't want to talk to people right now. So, you know, I must be an introvert and stuff. But also in fear of learning things like that. So there's the whole concept of growth mindset. And this is a big topic that we can talk about for more than one podcast. But the reason we fear screwing up in public is because we take everything as a test. And so you have to prove yourself constantly, right? So instead of being able to be open and like accepting things, like every single instance of you doing something is a test for you, right? And that is where the problem lies. And there's kind of ways to get over this. But again, it's like a huge, big topic. But I think it really helps. I used to give up on things just because I couldn't get over like that type of fear. And it really helps when you can get over this.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, I often think in my head, as my wife tells me sometimes, no one actually cares. like in the sense of like,
yeah, I find that reassuring sometimes as well.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I need all the help. That's a good idea though. Also being an, being an ambivert. I'm going to have to learn how to say that.
Ambivert. I think wasn't it Mark Twain that said something like we would care less about what other people thought of us if we realized how infrequently they did?
Well, that's brilliant. That's really, I've never heard that before.
Is it even a podcast unless someone quotes Mark Twain?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good, you know, maybe not an in-depth topic, but I think we've learned a lot how to get over learning. How to improve, which I'm gonna take that to heart and think about it, possibly.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the intro versus extroversion, I mean, there are a lot of people that use those labels and find meaning in them, and you know, good for those people too. But if we're gonna be quoting obscure people, like Carl Jung also said, we have as many personalities as we have situations we're in. So I think Cote, like you are very extroverted when it comes to starting podcasts. So I think just for every single thing you want to learn, just start a new podcast.
That's a good idea. That also, congratulations, that is the first Jungian reference I have heard this year. So I
So having a podcast is kind of a sneaky way to do this. So like Brian Berry famously said years ago that the dirty little secret of tech podcasting is this is how you get people to talk to you for an hour that you normally wouldn't get an hour of their time.
Absolutely.
Right? And, or you can look at it from the Corey Quinn perspective. As Corey has said, you know, before, he's like, I wanted to be an expert in AWS. So I told everyone I was one, right? Mm. You know, and that, but back to JJ's thing, like I've used podcasting to learn stuff by being the audience proxy. That actually works out really well. Like there'd be times when I'm like, if I'm hosting the show, someone is the proxy for the audience. And if you want to pretend that I really know about it and I'm faking it to be the audience proxy, okay, I won't correct you, but probably I don't know what I'm talking about.
So. Well, I think as we started last week, we'll stick with this. At the end of the show, I always like to have like a gimmick to come to. So at least, you know, there's something predictable. So I think our gimmick, if I remember, is tell me something like, whether it's this week or a few days, whatever, something that you're thinking about either starting or stopping. You know, this reminds me, my kids, one of my kids, my son Cormac, he's supposed to fill out, which you know, he doesn't do. He's supposed to fill out a work log for his homeschooling. And the last column is a little pessimistic. It's like, what did you do? What did you learn? What would you like to do different next time? And, you know, it's nice to think about how you would like to improve, but there's an implication there of like, I did something wrong, which is fine. It's okay, but maybe it should also be like, you know, something I'd like to repeat, but whatever. We're adults, so we're not going to let some like a little worksheet tell us how to live our lives. But let's start with, I don't know, since we'll start with the new people first. Sasha, what is something you would like to start or stop doing?
So I actually have a perfect answer for this right now. So I just hit 365 days on Duolingo Spanish. And I want to stop doing this. The stupid gamification is the only reason I did it for that long. I started because I went to Argentina and I could sort of kind of understand them a little bit, but not as much as I wanted to. And so, and I speak 3.5 languages, not counting Spanish. So, you know, I was like, oh, what's another language? So yes, but then I never intended to do it for a whole year. And I'm going to stop now because this is a good time to stop. I can do it.
Wait, what's the half language?
Ukrainian. So I grew up in Ukraine, but Russian was my native language. I'm at a level with Ukrainian where like I can understand everything, but I couldn't form a sentence right now. If I was there for 2 weeks, I probably could, but you know, it's very much dead on the, like, I'm like a dog. I can nod when you say things.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's what a phrase that you would know. I am like a dog.
No. It's in the, like, you know, I can understand you. That's cool. But
so I think I was going to say for the next episode, Sasha, you should find out how to say, I am like a dog in Ukrainian and share that with us.
See, like I'm trying right now and I couldn't even come up with this real quick. See, that's the, yeah.
All right. Well, next new person, new Matt, what's something you'd like to start or stop doing over the next week, let's say?
Oh man. Something I'm going to start doing.
Well, now it doesn't have to be you're gonna, it's just you would like to. We don't need this podcast to impose work. Right?
No, just immediately accountability just washed away and I just got way more light. I appreciate that. I'm going to stop adding things that I'm going to be doing while I'm at home. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have gotten sufficiently, I have no kids and I've been working from home for years. So other than like the slight terror of a global pandemic, like nothing has really changed in my day to day. So I have actually been really effective in like contributing to some open source projects I wanted to and writing more and reading more. And I'm like, I keep being like, well, where do I keep pushing this? And the answer is stop. Like I kind of hit this level where I'm like, I'm doing enough of these additional things. And if anything, I can scale back to a normal level. Like I don't need to be in pandemic efficient, Matt, if that is a thing.
That's good.
I'm going to go back to regular Matt. And for God's sakes, I would like to find some way of exercising at home. I am not doing that terribly well. And other than like trying to make food like Paul, like that's not an exercise program that is going to work out for me in the long run.
Well, let's go to other Matt, classic Matt. What over the next week, what's something you would like to start or stop doing?
I would like to stop using browser tabs as bookmarks.
Now, I don't want to, I'm just going to suggest if this results in lots of windows open, that might be another problem.
Need more screens, more monitors.
More screen. Yeah, that's how we're going to solve it. The next episode will be like, I'd like to point out I now have 7 monitors, and each of them has 1 Chrome window with 1 tab in it.
Definitely not 3. That's the devil's number of monitors. Right, yeah.
How about yourself, Paul?
So I'm kind of with Broberg on this. Now is not really the best time to be starting or stopping anything. It's kind of just get through this weird thing we have. But one thing I was trying to start right as this all went down was I was thinking about actually starting to do that No, Paul, Don't Eat That video series. And I got all set up for it. I bought some equipment and then everything shut down for a global pandemic. So I half have that outlet ready to go and I just can't actually execute it. So one thing I am going to do, and I was talking to JJ about this earlier, is there is a craze going through like TikTok with the kids right now that's because of this pandemic and everyone's being stuck at home. And that's that Dalgona coffee, which is this like weird fluffy coffee thing you make by just using instant coffee, sugar, and water. And you get like a almost like a coffee mousse. And so at some point later today, I'm going to get on a Zoom call with JJ and I'm going to talk him through making it and we're going to record it. And that may or may not go up on YouTube.
It's sort of like an uncooked meringue or something?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good way of putting it. It's very similar to an uncooked meringue.
Huh.
And yeah, then you basically put it into a glass of water and a glass of milk. And so you're going to have like a milky coffee drink. And it went viral, as the kids say, on TikTok in South Korea within the last couple of weeks.
That's interesting.
We're going to give it to my oldest daughter, to see if she likes it. She'll be our test subject.
How about yourself, JJ? What's something you'd like to start or stop doing over the next week? Emphasis, just to remind everyone, on like.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, the short of it is I started and I stopped over the last couple of weeks, the Stargate SG-1 from the very beginning. And if you have never seen all of the Stargate SG-1, that is about 200 to 300 episodes, and it branches off into multiple series. So if I'm going to be stuck at home and I need entertainment, I have a feeling I might be done by it by the time.
Is this the one with MacGyver in it?
Yeah, it's okay. Richard Dean Anderson basically jumping through a big circle and showing up at random alien planets. And it's actually really good. Like if you give it the college try, you fall in love with all the characters, and they go in so many cool different ways that it's some of the best, if not one of the best, sci-fis out there.
And which was the one of the same kind of era that was like the off-brand Star Trek, where they had like that one of the aliens had like he had like big hair that came out from the side, and he was dressed in a Napoleonic garb.
Babylon 5.
That's even better. That is even better.
Okay.
But that is very much a space opera.
If we never are able to leave our house again, and you finish out with Stargate, straight to Babylon 5. That might be
pretty cool. Now, if you really want your nerd cred, you need to go and dig up Space Above and Beyond. Mm-hmm. And that's gonna like give you like 1,000 points in the like nerd creds on sci-fi.
That's pretty good. Well, I have been given sufficient time to think of something I want to start and stop, and I think here's something I would like to stop doing. I have a barber here, and he'd never eaten Twinkies. So last time I was in America, I bought a bunch of stuff. He never had a Hamburger Helper, and I bought 2 boxes of Hamburger Helper, and one I did not give him to him, which was the cheeseburger Hamburger Helper. And I made that for my kids last night. And as my daughter said, she helped me make it, so she was involved in the whole process of the box. You make some meat, you got noodles, and then there's a packet of dust that you put in there. And as my daughter asked, Daddy, where did this cheese come from? When she was eating it. And I had to explain to her that, you know, the cheese was powder cheese. And so over the next week, when it might be hard to do this, I want to make sure that I don't make a bunch of disgusting box food for the kids to eat. Less box food. Because it really was you know, the color orange of this cheeseburger hamburger helper was sort of like an 80s, like, you know, dune buggy orange. And I don't think that that's something people should put into their bodies. Now, to my credit, we use ground chicken. So I think that that made it healthy.
Hey, Cote, can you get whole milk in the Netherlands right now?
Oh, they got all the milks. Yeah.
Well, the reason why I'm saying is that Josh Wiseman has a way to do fresh mozzarella with whole milk in 30 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
So if you want to get away from their weird like cheesy stuff, right? You can make fresh mozzarella. That's not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah. That's what, you know, I need to learn how to make like macaroni and cheese with like real cheese. Is that a bechamel or something?
Oh, here, I can tell you exactly how you want to do that. I perfected this. All right.
I was totally just baiting Paul. It worked.
So you take a box of macaroni, right? Uh-huh. Any kind of macaroni. You put it in a pot and you double its weight in water. You stick
the
that
macaroni's
on the pot.
Weight. Okay.
Yeah. You stick that on the boiler. You let it boil. And you basically let it boil until all the water's gone, which is going to be about the same time the pasta is ready. And there'll be a little bit of like water at the bottom that's kind of got a bunch of like starchy stuff in it. Then you pour in a can of evaporated milk. And then you dump in like a bag or two of grated cheese, depending on the size of your bags.
Okay.
And so the evaporated milk has an enzyme in it that stops the cheese from splitting. And so you get a nice creamy macaroni cheese without actually needing to do a roux or a bechamel or anything.
Oh, that sounds great. Shit. All right. I'm going to maybe next week. That's what I would like to do. We'll see if I actually do it. And, you know, we'll see what happens next week here on the drunkenretired.com podcast. If you go to drunkenretired.com/ I don't know what episode number this is. Don't actually go there. Just go to drunkenretired.com and you can see the show notes and subscribe. And tell all your friends and your enemies, and get your kids' iPads or their iOS devices or whatever an Android is, and subscribe them to our podcast and tell them not to listen to it unless they want to be awesome, and tell all their friends. And we'll see everyone next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.